7 o'clock. Good morning, Pyle. How you doing? Jim Davis along with Buckeye Boy from the Bose Darth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Good to be back with you, though. Had a wonderful time out in Iowa visiting my wife's family and just taking in some Iowa baseball. Unfortunately, they lost to Michigan 4-3, the game we went to.
So couldn't even do that for me.
We're bad luck. I'm sorry.
Man.
Sorry. And also, unfortunately, didn't get to go to the game with Coach Banks. Dwayne's still dealing with hip surgery. And so talked to him on the phone a couple of times. Appreciated the tickets from the coach. And if I get a chance, I'll put some of those pictures up on Facebook, our Facebook page from the trip to Iowa and of Banks Field, which it's going to go, I believe it's a $27 million renovation.
Dang.
They're going to put a roof over the seats.
Dwayne doesn't have to pay for that, does he?
No. Coach Banks does not have to pay for that. No, he does not. But
it's like, college coaches are making bank right now, but I don't know if that's necessarily a
John Calipari
side.
You mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt
if your chicken man is helping him out.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt if among your alums at Arkansas or Jerry Jones.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Doesn't hurt. That doesn't hurt at all. Mostly Jerry Jones played a fairly important role in Calipari going to Arkansas. So
Jerry occasionally looks like fried chicken. So he's
could be the
chicken man.
I love chicken. Thank you. Chickens are tough.
I did not know John Calipari was very tight with the Tyson chicken guy.
Didn't know that either.
And so the Tyson chicken guy, big Arkansas, Tyson chicken, Jerry Jones, and Walmart. I think Arkansas is doing fine.
But I also read where Jerry kind of reached out to Calipari and like, hey, be great to have you at Arkansas.
That's a phone call everyone gets, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Just every coach gets that call. But we had a great time out there and enjoyed going to the Iowa-Michigan game. It was a lot of fun.
A lot of yellow.
Stopped by Kinnick, took some pictures there.
Nice.
Yeah, it was fun. We had a great time and good to be back with you, though. So we have a lot to get to with the Rockies. Oh, the Rockies in the same place as when I left them to go to Iowa.
The garbage can.
Now,
the dumpster.
Now 3-10. Eugenio Suarez, who was, I think I had a better batting average than you did, better than he does.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not been great to start the season.
Comes up with a big bloop hit, though.
Mm-hmm.
Scored the two runs. Jones can't make the play. Rockies dropped 2-3 to Arizona.
I'm saying that a lot this year.
Yeah.
I know they were trying to tell me that Nolan Jones plays great defense on the broadcast yesterday. Spilly and Drew.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. Sorry, guys.
Sorry. Brendan Doyle,
yeah,
absolutely. Nolan Jones,
He's a great defender. We watching the same guy.
Somebody's being very charitable.
Yeah,
and then thank goodness for the Denver Nuggets.
No kidding.
Great win for Denver last night, taking down Minnesota. They grab the lead once again in the Western Conference by a game over the T-Wolves, and we'll play some sound, some Post Malone coming up. Back kind of where the Nuggets mindset is right now in the final games of the regular season, and that drive to be the number one team in the Western Conference again. The Nuggets defense in the fourth quarter against Anthony Edwards in particular, really good. Really good.
And their fourth quarter D the last couple times out has been pretty good.
Yeah. So Nuggets getting the big win against Minnesota last night. And we'll dive into that coming up in just a few minutes with some Post Malone, some comments from Michael Malone, also from Nikola Jokic as well, who just did what an MVP normally does.
Yeah.
Goes out and balls out, 41 points, 11 rebounds last night, 7 assists, just a sensational game from Nikola Jokic last night.
A ho-hum 40-point effort.
Yeah. There are times you watch him, he just seems bored.
Yeah.
It's like, when does postseason begin?
Right.
When do playoffs begin?
When is season over? Love horses.
Yeah. I like when playoffs begin because that means
just
season
to go
close
home,
to
rudder.
I think he also would like another ring, too.
Oh, I think he likes to win.
He likes to win.
Once the winning is done, he wants to go home.
Then he wants to go home and spend some time with his horses.
Yes. And maybe his wife and daughter.
And probably his wife and daughter as well. Yeah, all those things converging together when he goes home. All right, so 705, great to have you along with us today. You can text or call us 970-242-1340. We'll also have Frozen Four coverage today.
Yeah.
DU takes on Boston University with Boston College, Michigan, in the other semifinal. You hear both games, by the way. We'll have them both here on the team. But DU Boston University starts at 2:45 today. So looking forward to the Pioneers and seeing what they can do. 9 national championships for DU. And David Carl looking for a second as the coach there. 2022 wasn't that long ago,
right?
That they hoisted the banner over at Magnus Arena. So we'll have that, dive into that in a little bit. Also, for Team's Team of the Week, brought to you by Rick Nelson, American Family Insurance. So
there's a fun write-up. I can't remember where it was, but there's a write-up on one of the DU players trying to match his sister in hockey championships. McCade Webster. It was in the Denver Post. Because McKenna won 2 years ago or 3 years ago with Wisconsin and then won last month with Ohio State. And McCade's got one. And so he's going to try to answer this weekend and pull even with the younger sister. Pat Graham in the Post had a fun little write-up.
Good deal. So, yeah. So trying to match, like I said, what his sister's doing. Mm-hmm. If they can win a title. All right, so you can text or call us 970-242-1340. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Great to be back with you. And it's also, as I mentioned, coming up this morning, we'll have our team's Team of the Week. We'll also go in the garage. And NASCAR, Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. So I'm assuming somebody picked for me.
Yes.
How'd I do?
You finished last amongst the three of us.
Great.
But Ryan Blaney finished fifth in the race.
Oh, okay.
So not a terrible finish.
Okay, just
two of the four guys ahead of you we also picked.
Okay.
So not terrible.
Not terrible. Not horrible.
You didn't win. Fred did.
Okay. Well, so Fred deserves that. It's been a while for Fred.
It's been a while, and I don't know if each of us had a win 7 picks in or 8 picks in, and now we have.
Well, I'm glad Fred got off the schneid.
He did.
Well deserved in his part.
It's real, real tight in the standings this year. So
it's closed up a little bit.
It has, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
We also have our, speaking of winning,
the Bracketpalooza.
Bracketpalooza, yeah.
Powered by Ed Bozarth Miller, Chevrolet Buick. Mm-hmm.
So, and we talk about bonus points, right? How crucial they are. Don did not need nary a bonus point. Don wins with the high score of 151. So he gets pizza for a year, courtesy of Smokin' Oak Wood-Fired Pizza in the Tap Room out in Clifton.
Sounds awesome. Like you guys had a great time
we
out there Saturday.
Had a great time out there. The Buffalo Chicken Pizza, oh, so good. So good out there. So Don gets a pizza a week for a year. That's 52 pizzas. Congratulations to him. Dalton comes in second with, thanks to the bonus points. He gets the Audio-Technica record player from
Turntable.
Play Records, the turntable. And then Phil comes in third. He gets the one pest treatment courtesy of our friends over at Chrome Pest Control. Phil was 9 points off. So there was a tiebreaker for third place. Phil was 9 points away from the correct final score of the championship game. Wins the tiebreaker because Hillary was 10 points away. That tiebreaker, that'll get you. And those bonus points, second and third, were awarded to Bracketpalooza participants who had bonus points.
So it pays to show
it
up.
It pays to show up.
And get the points when we have our Bracketpalooza party. And then we'll also, who finished with the best bracket? You were in a good spot when?
Not me.
Who did?
Not you either. That would be Cake.
Really?
Between the three of us. I haven't gotten deep into who. Because we had a bunch of other.
Right.
But because the website just shows the three of us, so I'm going to have to dig into that. We'll have that by the end of the show.
Wow. Cake.
He beat the three of us, and I'm real, real disappointed in that.
Yeah, I'm not happy.
It wasn't even
either.
Close either. He beat me by 50 points.
Wow.
Yeah.
How bad did he beat me?
by 39.
Okay. Well,
actually, sorry, 41.
Could have been worse.
It could have been a lot worse, yeah.
Could have been worse. Wow. Is he gloating about it yesterday?
I don't think he knows.
Okay. Well,
I'm not going to tell him.
We'll just keep it among ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's keep quiet. All right,
I think he might have won the DJ bracket too, but that's just a quick glance. I'm not sure. We'll have to get an official
result. We had some of the other radio station folks here at NBC that submitted brackets for this. So
can I get 51 bonus points because I was at bracket?
Well, so was I.
Right. You get 41 or 42. We'll tie just so we can beat Kate.
Yeah. I like that. So yeah, just long as he doesn't win, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's
the whole thing. Long as he
really
doesn't win.
That's really what it is.
All right, 7-Eleven, and it's time for...
What's happening?
And it's brought to you by ComWest, your technology partner. One call, one team, one goal, helping your business grow. ComWest helps business owners grow their business by providing quality, reliable, personalized technology solutions. IT services to meet your business needs, PC and server support, business phone system surveillance, network support, cybersecurity backup and disaster recovery. And ComWest is serious about your business's IT service and support for the past 20 years. They've remained dedicated to providing business owners with the right technology solutions and services for each stage of their growth right here in Grand Junction and along the Western Slope. Call them today at ComWest, 970-242-8142, or go to comwestcorp.com. All right, so start things out with the Denver Nuggets, who get the win last night over Minnesota at Ball Arena. Nuggets have reclaimed the lead in the Western Conference with their 116-107 victory over Minnesota at Ball Arena. Denver MVP contender Nikola Jokic scored 41 points, along with pulling down 11 rebounds and adding 7 assists. Nuggets coach Mike Malone says their fourth quarter defense is a big factor in the victory.
And that fourth quarter defense, where there wasn't a lot of defense tonight, but the fourth quarter, I thought our defense was great, and I believe it's the second time against them that Anthony Edwards had 0 points in the fourth quarter, and that's a testament to all five guys on the court.
Jamal Murray added 20 points for Denver, along with Anthony Edwards leading the T-Wolves with 25 points, and Nuggets grab a one-game lead over Minnesota in the battle for the top spot in the Western Conference. Masters gets underway this morning at Augusta National. We'll keep you updated throughout the program. Scottie Scheffler, the favorite to win the green jacket at the Masters Tournament. And once again, a big thanks to Ty over at GJ Golf.
$200 gift certificate up for grabs.
All right. So everybody's got their golfers picked. And of course, we'll let you know on Monday who gets that $200 gift certificate to GJ Golf. Denver University men's hockey team faces top seed of Boston University today in the Frozen Four in Minnesota. The Pioneers are coming off a 2-1 win over third-seeded Cornell to take the Northeast Regional Final. DU's won 9 titles with their last one coming in 2022. You can hear today's DU game on the team, the pregame at 2:45, and then Michigan takes on Boston College in the other semifinal. We'll also have that game tonight right here on the Team Sports Network. Eugenio Suarez's bloop single scored 2 runs and helped Arizona beat the Rockies 5-3 Wednesday at Coors Field. The loss drops Colorado to 3-10 after dropping 2 out of 3 to the Diamondbacks. Colorado's Michael Tolley hit a 2-run home run for his 3rd win of the season as the Rockies head to Toronto to face the Blue Jays tomorrow night. Central's Ryland Nostrand dominated on the mound Wednesday as the Warriors shut out Rifle 10-0 at Central High School. Nostrand struck out 13 bears and gave up just 4 hits in 5 2/3 innings to get the win. He also went 1-2 at the plate with a walk. Central's Dalton Tembriza had a huge day at the plate. He went 3-for-4, 3 RBIs and 2 runs scored. Future Colorado Mesa football and baseball player Logan Gross is on the mound for the Bears. He struck out 5 and allowed 4 hits along with 4 earned runs in 2 2/3 innings. Central moves to 7-5 with Rifle slipping to 6-5. Montrose girls soccer team moved a step closer to the Southwestern League title with their 2-0 home win over Central on Wednesday. Redhawks sophomore Sadie Wareham and junior Ellie Duncan each scored goals as Montrose moves to 9-0-1 overall. They're 4-0-1 in the SWL. The Warriors fall to 3-3-1 overall, and they're 0-3-1 in league. And this week was the Montrose Redhawks tournament for the girls golfers at Black Canyon. And Fruto Monument's Cadence Ulrich took second place in shooting an 80 overall, which is a career best for her. She said getting to a point where she could be back in the course took a lot of physical and mental strength.
Last year, I was sick with long COVID, and I was, like, in the hospital. So I was coming back from it. And then this year, I've really gotten all of it together. And I've been with my swing coaches who've been helping me and all that. So I've definitely put it to work, and I've gotten it all together, I think.
She finished second in the individual leaderboard. Her Wildcat counterpart, Peyton Stevens, also finished in the top 10, shooting a 92. Fruta took third in the team standings at the Montrose tournament. And that's a look at
what's happening.
Once again, brought to you by ComWest, your technology service partner. If you need IT help for your business today, call ComWest, 970-242-8142, or go to comwestcorp.com. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back. And on the other side of the break, we'll talk about the Nuggets win over Minnesota last night. Denver back on top of the standings in the Western Conference after they get the win against the T-Wolves last night. Some post Malone with Coach Michael Malone coming up. After the on the other side of this break, we'll return with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network online at theteam1340.com.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The team presents the Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Welcome back, 719. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Text call us, 970-242-1340. Chance to win with Who Is It? The Pile's favorite game on a Thursday coming up later on. Also, we did not have a winner for Wrigley Field Colorado Sports trivia yesterday, so we're going to bring back the question that you guys had from yesterday. So, anyway, Jim the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles, and Nuggets last night. Taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves, of course, rematch of also last year's playoff series where everybody from Bruce Brown to Mike Malone said that was the toughest series the Nuggets had. And the T-Wolves have been right there with OKC in challenging the Nuggets for the lead in the Western Conference. And so after the win against the Jazz, Nikola Jokic was asked about the showdown coming up last night with Minnesota. And he goes, yeah, I do not think it's a big game. Well, Denver played like it was a big game last night. They played like it was an important game. And Nikola Jokic in particular played like it was an important game with 41 points last night, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. Denver gets a victory last night. And you look at that fourth quarter where Denver was able to go out and really put together a solid defensive effort. Jokic was on the bench for a little bit, getting his normal fourth quarter rest. And so that allowed Rudy Gobert to get more involved with Jokic on the bench. And so you had Jokic who came back in. Denver's bench is a plus one, though, in the non-Jokic minutes during that quarter. So, I mean, they're a minus one, excuse me. They're a minus one.
Which is still pretty solid.
Which is not
star not
terrible.
Not out there.
Exactly. So, Anthony Edwards did not score in the fourth quarter last night. Had 25 points in the game. But that was kind of the difference, was the way Denver played defensively in the fourth quarter. Jamal Murray had 20 points last night. Michael Porter Jr. finished with 18, but he got him off to a good start last night. He was very active early on for the Nuggets against the T-Wolves last night. And for Denver, you just look at some of the numbers here from last night where you had Jokic was a plus six. Murray was a plus seven last night.
Yeah, they played better than the Wolves kind of start to finish. Bench play, starting five. You talked about Michael Porter Jr. and the hot start. Just 7 points, but he was perfect from the floor, had a little bit of a heat check. Nikola Jokic had 11. And then, you know, kind of the Joker and Jamal Murray took over as they got closer to half. And that fourth quarter, you know, Gobert, Anthony Edwards, they had 38 points between the two of them. They had two in the fourth quarter. And, 2 points between the two of them. That is huge when their stars, Gobert, Edwards, Mike Conley, they're all double digits, negative plus minus rating in the fourth quarter. And this is a team that, when push comes to shove, having that seventh game at home and presumably the Western Conference Finals, you're going to look back at this one and be like, all right, this was an important game. Where it turned. This was a huge game for the Nuggets.
Nikola might have been downplaying it the night before. Denver did not play down this is one of the best teams in the Western Conference in Minnesota. Denver played like it was an important game last night. And you look at Jamal Murray, He was 8 of 13 from the field. He had 4 threes last night. He was a plus 7. And then the Nuggets bench, which we haven't talked about yet, where Christian Brown, he was a plus 9. He had 8 points last night. Reggie Jackson had 9 last night. He was a plus 3. You also had Justin Holiday, who's getting more and more time. He's been more involved in the rotation. He was a plus 9 last night. He had 8 points. Denver's bench was good last night. Denver was really good defensively in the fourth quarter last night in particular.
Yeah, and you take a look, we talked about the plus minus in the fourth quarter. You know, KCP was the only starter that was plus minus on the night. Aaron Gordon didn't have a lot, but he didn't need to have a lot. When Joker, Murray, and Michael Porter Jr. are going for almost 80 points between the three of them. And that's what you want to see. You're 4 games away from the playoffs. It's going to be another tough road back to the top of the mountain. You want your top three, which, for better or worse, MPJ is in that group. Him and AG are kind of interchangeable as the third piece, but 61 points between Joker and the Blue Arrow, that's exactly what you want. That's exactly how you want them to play headed into, you know, 4 playoff series, hopefully, that are going to be a struggle. And you want your guys that you rely on to come out there and play well. Jamal Murray was 8 of 13. Joker was 16 of 20, took 20 shots, 11 rebounds, had 7 assists, and only had 2 turnovers. You take a look at that, and you're like, all right, that's where I want him to be right now. And he's not going to be anywhere other than that because he's the MVP, and he should be. But Jamal Murray played really well, and he's kind of been in and out of the lineup. He's been in more than out the last 2 weeks-ish, and he's starting to look like the Jamal Murray of last year again.
And so you look at the Nuggets right now with the win last night, 116-107. 2 games left.
Yep.
In the regular season. At San Antonio Friday, and then Sunday at Memphis as we are to start the playoffs. And Denver right now with that 1-game lead over Minnesota. They have a 1-game lead as well over Oklahoma City. And so we said it was going to come down to the wire. Mm-hmm. It is now coming down to the wire. And for the Nuggets, they have a San Antonio team that's dead last in the Western Conference. But Wimby's
interesting. You
know, interesting.
Makes things difficult.
And you also have a Memphis team that is, you know, out of the picture. They're 13th in the Western Conference. 2 teams, Denver should go and get victories on the road against.
Yeah.
You would think.
They're those teams that we talked with Connor McGahee yesterday that Mark Rycroft talks about, says has those Jamaican legs. There, 1-2-3 Cancun. So go out there, you pummel these next 2 teams, and then you get into the playoffs and await the play-in tournament because you're going to have to wait. You don't get a chance to scout, which is good and bad, but you get a couple extra days off. So, you know, just pound these 2 teams into the cement and then go on about your business in the postseason.
So some post Malone, Coach Michael Malone, after the game, about kind of where the Nuggets mindset is right now as we head toward the playoffs and just 2 games left in the regular season.
The process is come to work every day, get better, don't be satisfied. You know, somebody asked before the game, like, what I'm most proud about. I'm most proud of the fact that as a reigning world champion, we haven't been satisfied the whole year. You know, you got to stay hungry because we got 29 teams right behind us trying to take what we have. And you need the requisite mindset, energy, focus, discipline, urgency, whatever you want to call it. And tonight we had it. And, you know, that was great to see from our group. And I have a feeling that we're probably going to see that team again in the playoffs. And it'll be a hell of a series because they're a very good team. They're well coached and they have a lot of talent over there. But for us, get better every day, you know, and not be satisfied. Stay hungry.
All right. So that's Michael Malone.
I get what he's saying. That there's 29 other teams that are targeting it. But
let's be honest.
There's like 10.
Yeah, that's... let's just be honest about that.
I mean, I know Detroit's back there, but you're almost closer to lapping them than they are to you from the back.
Yeah, you know, in watching a little bit of TV, not a ton, but just watching some of, in particular, ESPN's coverage.
Mm-hmm.
You would swear the Boston Celtics won the title last year.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You swear
and
that
they've already won it this year.
And they've already won it this year. You would swear that. Why even play the finals?
Right. Like BCS.
It's
they've awarded the tournament to the Celtics.
I watch it. It's kind of like Boston's great. They're a really good basketball team.
Yeah. Like, they're the favorites to come out of the East right now. They're not jostling for position. They are 13 games ahead of second place.
And now Milwaukee with Giannis's injury, and that's not looking good.
What that does, it opens the door for my Cavs.
Yeah.
Nuggets, Cavs, final, baby.
I get the Celtics. They're 62-17. I get it. They're really good. They got the best record in the NBA. But have not the Nuggets played really well against Boston this season?
Yeah, I think so. And they win in Boston?
They did.
So, yeah, I thought they played pretty well against Boston the two times they faced them. At least my memory serves. 102-100 win in Boston earlier this season. That was January.
Yeah, Denver's won the only two meetings this season. Mm-hmm.
And then 115-109 about a month ago.
Isn't the Western Conference way more difficult than the Eastern Conference right now?
Yeah. Boston 60-17.
Perk and those clowns. Oh, yeah. You'd swear that the Celtics had won the title and they were looking to go back to back.
The Nuggets might as well be in the EuroLeague as much as they talk about them. Boston 60-17 against the other 28 teams in the NBA, 0-2 against the Nuggets. Or 62-97. Yeah. Whatever. Math is hard. You get the point. They've beaten everybody else except the Nuggets. Whereas the gap between first and last in the East is 49 games. gap between first and last in the West is 36.
Yeah.
Not that San Antonio is world beaters, but, you know, they are 20-60, whereas Detroit's 13-66.
Or they have the same amount of wins as the Hornets do, and the Hornets are 13th in the Eastern Conference right now. Looking at you, Wizards and Pistons.
Hornets are kind of close to the play-in in the East, whereas San Antonio is 20 games out in the West.
And you look at top to bottom, Boston, they have a 13.5 game lead over Milwaukee, 15 over the Knicks, 15.5 over your Cavs. And then you look at the Western Conference, and it's Nuggets game over Minnesota, game over OKC, 5 ahead of the Clippers, 6 ahead of the Mavs. I find it really interesting that when you watch ESPN in particular, the Nuggets, they get mentioned and talked about because, well, they have Nikola Jokic. And they do like to occasionally acknowledge Denver won the title last year.
And they're in the league, so they have to talk about them accidentally sometimes.
But it's like, what's going to stop Jason Tatum and the Celtics from winning the title all the time?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, wait a minute. How about the Denver Nuggets?
Right.
How about the Nuggets might stop you from winning?
There's at least two things that I think that come to mind when you ask the question, what's going to stop the Celtics? The Celtics have a good chance of stopping themselves.
Yeah.
And the Nuggets.
I mean, Denver's 56-24 because they play at a tougher conference.
Yeah.
They play better competition.
Last night's game.
Absolutely. And like Dallas with Luka, they're good. They're really good. They're 50-30 and they're 6 games back. And they're good.
OKC, outside of Chet Holmgren, I can't name a Thunder player.
Shane Gilgeous-Alexander.
Oh, see, I thought he was Memphis, somewhere else. I don't know.
That's okay. He's OKC.
Yeah. Well, now I can name two. That's perfect. You
can name two.
And then the Clippers are sneaking right in there at number 4. As much as James Harden and 2-time NBA Finals MVP Kawhi Leonard can sneak anywhere. Pelicans are a playoff team.
Yeah, you got Zion's been healthy and playing well. The Kings were darling. Mm-hmm. They were story last year. The Suns have Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Your play-in is going to be
Devin Booker.
Kevin Durant, the Kings, the Lakers, and the Warriors. That's your Western Conference play-in.
Yeah. I just, when I watch that, you guys got to realize that the Western Conference is a better, it's the better conference, the stronger conference. Mm-hmm. Well, Boston has gotten fat on a lot of bad basketball teams.
Just look at the 10th seed. In the play-in, the 10th seed in the East right now would be Atlanta. Actually, they're probably in. They're clear of Brooklyn by 4 games.
Yeah.
They're 36-44. They're 8 games under 500. And could be a playoff team probably.
Where the Warriors are your 10th team right now. They're 44-35.
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about the Lakers.
Right. The Lakers wouldn't even be in the play-in in the East. And they're going to be a road team in the play-in coming up next week. The West is just so much deeper, so much stronger.
And it's like those clowns cannot acknowledge that.
No.
It's like it's bad for business on the East Coast if they acknowledge that the Nuggets, that the Western Conference mm-hmm. is the better conference, the stronger conference, the conference that's more battle-tested.
Because that's somebody else.
I mean, Cavs are good. Donovan Mitchell, he's really good. It's a good basketball team.
Yeah.
But you got to be honest. Would they be the fourth best team in the Western Conference? No.
Oh, no.
No, they would not be.
No.
Nor would the Knicks be the third best team in the Western Conference.
I still don't believe the Knicks are that good. Maybe that's some bias, yeah. But no, that can't be right.
You know, and Minnesota's going to get some help. Karl Anthony Towns expected to be back on the floor soon. So anyway,
yeah.
Nuggets get the win last night over Minnesota. We digress a little bit. Jim and the Buckeye Boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios on the Team Sports Network. Here's the Joker on facing Rudy Gobert and the T-Wolves, one of the better defensive teams in the league, and the job that he was able to do last night against Minnesota.
It was not just him. I think it, they switch guys on me, and that's what they do in the past and probably in the future. Of course, they miss Cat, who is the, I think, really important player for them, defensively and offensively. But it was just one of those nights, probably.
Okay, just one of those nights.
Yep.
And no, things just kind of clicked. It went good. Just one of those
things
nights.
Things just go sideways.
It's just one of those nights. And they're supposed to get, as I mentioned, Karl Anthony Towns mm-hmm. back soon. That expect him to be back before the end of the regular season, which is very, very...
like Saturday.
Fast approaching.
At that point, why?
I guess...
Knock some rust off. All right.
So they think that he'll play maybe tomorrow at home against Atlanta or Sunday at home against Phoenix. And he was recovering from the torn meniscus in early March. And so he is, his rehab has been very impressive.
No offense, but doesn't feel like it's that torn.
Very Adrian Peterson-like. Must be something in the water in Minnesota.
No joke.
All right. So, like I said, the Nuggets down to their final two games of the regular season. They hold that one game lead over OKC and Minnesota for the top spot in the Western Conference. All right. Text or call us 970-242-1340. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles, could be back with you on this Thursday. And it's time for Soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Well, don't let the fact that he went 0-for-4 last night with a couple of punch-outs distract from the fact that Jackson Holliday is a really good baseball player. And he got the call because... apparently, he needed the 9 extra days of seasoning in AAA and not able to break camp with the Orioles. But that's neither here nor there.
It's those 9 days. It's really crucial.
Stuff that gets me all the time is the surprise scholarship announcement, right, from coaches and the you're going to the show conversation with the manager.
Has your dad been in town? They haven't come in? Shit. All right.
My brother's right in the middle of... this season.
He's in his season?
Yeah.
Okay. He's probably a great resource for you, right? I'm sure that you guys are tight. Yeah. He's giving you good advice. Mm-hmm. And all those times that you've been in the locker rooms and stuff, you know how this goes.
Yeah.
Okay. So for tomorrow, mm-hmm. trying to get guys out early.
Okay.
But first, tonight, I want you to call your dad.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to talk to him. and I want you to thank him for all the times that he's allowed you to come to the clubhouse, be on his pass list, you know, let you hit with the big boys. That's pretty special, and it plays into a lot of what you're about. The second thing I want you to tell him is that now it's time for him to ask permission to be on Jackson Holliday's pass list because you're going to the big leagues.
Awesome.
Just love the smile. Jackson Holliday, he's like, I knew what this is going to be. This is still pretty cool.
But I'm the excitement is still there, though the surprise is pretty much gone.
The surprise is gone. It was a matter of when.
He looks like he's 10 years old.
He does.
He looks so young.
They had the video of baby Jackson Holliday smacking around T-ball pitches or whatever with a T-ball bat at Coors Field yesterday. It's like, dang, those. First of all, they need to bring back the white vest, the cargo vest, as I call it, because that's the cargo Grand Slam vest. Bring those back, Rockies, first of all. Second of all, that looked like it was maybe 5 years ago that that kid was 6 years old.
I know. Yeah, not that long ago. He was going to have a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese.
Time is a flat circle. It's like, oh, this video is from 2004. I'm like, that's 3 years ago. What's going on?
Come on. All right, 7:39. So a Masters update this morning.
Ooh.
Do we have any Masters music?
You're playing golf and you're going to like it.
Get me a little Masters.
I'm going to see. Tyler had some yesterday.
Okay, that'd be great because I'd like to set the mood here properly.
First
Masters update of the morning.
I'm not very good at this.
That's okay.
I'm not very good at having the music handy for most things.
It's all right. I can't filibuster much longer.
I have Master of Puppets.
No,
that's a little different.
Need the Masters theme.
It's just slightly different.
It's quite a bit different.
I'm going to find some YouTube real quick.
Okay. Well.
Like I said, I'm not very good at this.
This is killing us. You're killing me, Smales.
Yeah, I
Smalls,
hope there's...
Smalls. Thinking of Judge Smalls.
Yeah, you're killing Judge Smalls.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Have you seen him in, I think it's with, Julio Rodriguez? They do a commercial now? The kid that plays the catcher from Sandlot?
Yeah.
He's in a baseball commercial for, the video game, I think.
I think I did see that, yeah.
It's pretty neat. So I'm using that to fill time until we get this.
Okay, here we go. Thank you. Hello, friends.
And I said Dick Enberg is calling his last Masters. He's already called his last
Masters. Yes, he has.
Vern Lundquist.
Vern Lundquist. Steamboat resident Vern Lundquist. All right. Hello, friends. Jim Nance should be well-rested and ready to go.
He should be, yeah.
He should be. Eric Van Rooyen, and I know I'm probably screwing his name up, South African. He's even right now, along with Jake Knapp from... USA, Jose Maria Olazabal, and Taylor Moore from the U.S. Of course, Olazabal, the Spaniard, and so they're all even right now at the Masters. Updates throughout the course of the morning. Around, it's been delayed, so inclement weather. So it's going to get started once again about 8:30 our time. So that's where they've left things off. It is in a weather delay right now. They'll be back on the course around 8:30, our time.
It's soft.
It's golf. They can't... What? You want to go out and...
Hey, that guy, the old man played his round of his life.
The minister.
Yeah, exactly. The old Padre played the round of his life
until he
terrible
blew that
weather.
Until he blew that putt, and then he put his golf club up.
Yeah.
And that was a bad move on a on a day full of lightning and rain.
That's an e-him. Don't make yourself taller than the tallest thing around you if
Absolutely.
There's lightning.
Absolutely. Well, he was angry because he missed that putt.
Yeah.
See, the wind was helping him out, and then the wind took it away from him.
The rain with the frog in the cup.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. He played the round of his life. These guys can't go out there in a little bit of rain and a breeze.
I will say, though, the weather did play a role. We're going to go to Field of Dreams, and we're going to go Sunday, and before Iowa played South Carolina, we're going to go out quickly to Field of Dreams, check it out. The wind was so bad, and it was raining so bad. I'm like, you know, sounds like Field of Nightmares, not Field of Dreams. So we're going to put that on the agenda for next time to go to Field of Dreams.
The wind was blowing so bad at CMU Friday night. The only thing that kept Sergio Romo on the ground was the weight of his World Series rings.
And how was Sergio, by the way?
Super nice. Super humble.
Glad to hear that.
Felt like he's one of those, I don't know why they put my name out there, but hey, I'm here.
Yeah. Well, glad they honored him.
In a good way, right?
He deserved that, yeah. No doubt about it. All right, 7:43, and we'll take a break. We'll come back. Ryan Kogel, by the way, the coach of Iowa Western, which is still a little odd to say.
It's strange, yeah.
Mark Reardon was there for so many years, but Ryan's in his second year coaching the Reavers. So we'll talk with him as we continue our march toward, of course, Memorial Day weekend and the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series. We'll have that coming up next hour on the program. So we're going to move things around a little bit. Around the NFL is going to move to 8:20 this morning. So we'll just kind of slide things around a little bit with Ryan Kogel coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. All right, we'll take a break and return with more. This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
They need a wake-up call.
Call or text the Jim Davis Show on the Chick-fil-A team line. 970-242-1340.
Welcome back. Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trust name in automobiles. Masters right now. Any weather delay, they expect to be back on the course at 8:30. Keep you posted on that. Also today on the team, we'll have the Frozen Four from Minneapolis, Minnesota, as the Denver University Pioneers looking to win their 10th championship. Wow. I mean, they're tied with Michigan with 9 titles.
Come on.
Michigan's in the other semifinal. DU gets Boston University. Michigan gets Boston College. And so for DU, they all score 5 goals per game. DU's good.
Yeah, they're really good.
They're first in the nation in offense, and it's just going to be an incredible matchup. 2:45 today for that one, by the way. And for DU, that they're able to travel cross country as the number one regional seed, and they won a couple of games in Springfield, Massachusetts. They beat UMass 2-1 in double overtime, and then beat Cornell 2-1 in the regional final. And so DU's facing Boston University for the first time since winning 4-3 in Boston on October 27th of 2017 with Troy Terry going to play in the NHL. Mm-hmm. Got the last-minute goal from Troy Terry. The Pioneers are 17-15-2 all-time against Boston University, 3-2 in games during the national tournament. And they met back in 2016 in the NCAA tournament when the Pioneers won 7-2 in the West Regional Semis at the XL Energy Center in St. Paul. So the Pioneers have won 4 straight against the Terriers, tied for the longest winning streak by either program in the all-time series. And DU also won the first 4 games of the series from 1960 to 1967. Boston University had a 4-game winning streak of their own from 1990 to 1999. So a couple programs with some history, certainly for Colorado, for DU, excuse me, an impressive resume, an impressive history. Denver's made 5 of the last 8 Frozen Fours dating back to 2016, winning it in 2017 and 2022. And DU, though, they played in the 1973 Frozen Four. It was vacated by the NCAA Committee on Infractions. So they took that one away from them.
What infraction? Is that like Nathan McKinnon's unsportsmanlike conduct penalty from Tuesday night? It's just unsportsmanlike to kick that so much tail. You know?
Man, he was good, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
He was good. So, leading up to today's matchup, David Carl, of course, has already won a championship as the DU coach. David Carl talking about where this team is right now, leading up to the Frozen Four later on today.
No, it's great to be back in St. Paul. When we won here 2 weeks ago, it was obviously our goal to get back here. It was a tough road out in Springfield playing 2 great teams in UMass and Cornell, but really proud of our team for getting through that and getting us back here. So they've done a great job all year, and it's always a good season when you're playing on the last weekend.
All right, that's DU's head coach as they take on the Boston University Terriers today. 2:45 for that matchup from Minnesota, and that'll be followed by Michigan, Boston College, right here on the team.
Come on, BC. Don't give them a chance to beat DU and pull back ahead. And, you know, of course, the other hatred, that too. But come on. Come on, BC. I want Denver to beat both Boston teams this weekend.
And DU's played pretty well, and they play at the XL Energy Center. They're 17-9 there all time since that building opened in 2000.
You know, you play a lot of hockey deep into the season when you have 20-some games played at a neutral site. That's a lot.
That means you're in the postseason.
Yeah, means you're playing a lot.
You're playing deep in the postseason.
Deep into the season.
Absolutely. All right. So hopefully, you know, for the Pioneers, man, a 10th national championship would give them the most in college hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Does it go into the radar a little too much, do you, how
yes.
good they are? And this, I mean, it feels like the only time we ever talk about them is when this time of the year rolls around, mm-hmm. which seems like we're talking about them fairly often when this time of the year rolls around.
Yeah, I did not realize that they had tied for the most tournament wins, Frozen Four wins. Like, I didn't know until this week. It's like, okay, it turns out they're pretty good. Pretty good. So, yeah, I think it definitely flies under the radar.
You know, they're obviously the top scoring team in NCAA Division I hockey, mm-hmm. Heading into today's game with Boston University. We've also got really good goaltending from Matt Davis, no relation.
Are you sure?
I don't know. Not that I'm aware of. He'll make his 25th straight start for the Pioneers when they score off against Boston University. The longest such stretch by a DU netminder since Magnus Krona started 25 games from 2021 to 2022. So he's posted has a couple of career-long shutout streaks over the last several weeks, including a high of 127 minutes, 19 seconds across three games from when they played Colorado College on March 9th to March 16th against Minnesota Duluth. So he's been really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe also was named recently the goalie of the month for the month of March as well. So not only are they very good offensively, he was a national goaltender of the month for March, had a 9-1-0 record and a 1.89 goals against average, save percentage of 93%, and one shutout in 10 games. So not only are they good offensively, defensively they've been pretty solid as well. All right, so Jim, along with the Buckeye boy, text or call us, 970-242-1340. From Paul, name the more dominant college teams in any sport than DU hockey.
I mean, UCLA was...
men's college basketball.
Pretty automatic for a while there.
South Carolina women's basketball right now.
Yeah.
You ran the table, but historically is where Paul's going.
Right. And don't give me the, I was in the 70s. Well, some of these DU wins go back to the 70s.
They do. Yeah, not all these titles came from 2000, from in the 21st century, some coming from way back then.
UCLA, UConn women were pretty automatic for a while there. Yeah.
Duke lacrosse, though, that has
waned a little bit.
Yeah, but also an interesting off the field story that transpired with Duke lacrosse.
Mm-hmm. Football's pretty...
Oklahoma and football, like in the 50s.
Yeah.
Bud Wilkinson. Long winning streak at Oklahoma.
There's more parity there than I think people let on.
But as far as championships go, I mean, they're looking for their 10th title.
Yeah.
That's pretty darn impressive.
The UConn now?
Yeah, UConn.
6 in 25 years? That's
Yeah, we haven't even talked about... That was a case of Zach Edey's a great individual player, and not that Purdue's a bad basketball team,
mm-hmm.
with Smith and those guys, great 3-point shooting team.
Right.
It just goes to show how great of a team Dan Hurley has.
Oh yeah.
And I love Dan Hurley's comment about the Kentucky job. I can't afford a divorce right now. My wife doesn't want to go anywhere. All right, we'll take a break and come back with hour two.